Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota Brookhaven services all makes and models. That could be why we were voted best service department the past 2 years. Come see why. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota Brookhaven, we deliver.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, why don't we try that again? Welcome in, everybody, to the Tuesday edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. I know that there is a big political event happening right now, like it literally just started. So for those of you that are here, I hope that I am able to provide you a distraction from that. And hopefully the technology will hold this time. And this is what I get for having a 15-year-old computer that I'm trying to run streaming software on. It's what I got. So take two, as Edward says. We're going to give it a shot, and hopefully it works this time. But I'm glad you guys are here. Appreciate you being here for this edition of the Rebel Report. What I've been thinking about all day today is, I mean, we've just kind of beaten into the ground that Ole Miss has played lesser opponents. And yeah, everybody gets it by now, right? But is there something that we could have learned, truly learned, about this team over the first 2 weeks? I think so. And so I'm going to tell you what we know, or what I think we know, about this Ole Miss team after the first two games. And then a couple of things that I'm still looking forward to finding out as they get ready for the schedules to get much more difficult after these next couple of weeks. So that's the topic tonight. Of course, I want to get to your messages as well. And we'll have to go a little bit shorter than usual just because of the equipment failure and how late we are. But that is okay. A little PSA for you. I know all of you know this already. We all have phones, and our phones tell us things. But there is, you guys know this, the hurricane that's going to come right up the chute here in the state of Mississippi, or as they call it, the landmass between Louisiana and Alabama. Forecast looks pretty nasty on, you know, late tomorrow night into Thursday. I mean, my power company has given me about a dozen different alerts about the possibility of power outages and how bad the weather is going to get. I mean, last year's drought killed so many still standing very large trees. And so, you know, you guys know this already, but I love you. So I got to say it. Please be safe. Please be careful. Don't be stupid. Get a little portable charging station for your phone. Get yourself some bags of ice, some bottles of water. Even, you know, make sure you got gas and everything for your chainsaw if you're going to need one to help yourself out or your neighbors. Things like that. The forecast is legit. They're talking about 50-mile-an-hour sustained winds here in the Jackson area, possibly. And of course, with the remnants of hurricanes, you've got the so much rain and the possibility of tornadoes and things like that. So there's a chance it's going to get nasty here over the next couple of days. So just be careful, be safe, be smart, because I want to see you again. And hopefully we're able to do that Thursday. My power company is giving me the heads up that I'm going to lose power. That's what they've been doing, is just letting me know in no uncertain terms that you're going to have outages. So I will do something for you Thursday. I will. Absolutely, I will. It's just possibly going to look a little bit different, but hopefully not. Hopefully it's gone and out of here by the time this gets around on Thursday night. So there's your little PSA of the day. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get them. Search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. And if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe here too. Like the video and leave a comment as well. Get your score predictions ready, because we're giving away a hat from College Corner on Thursday. Well, not on Thursday. It'll be on Sunday, but Thursday is when I want you to leave your comments. If you're listening in podcast form, don't worry. I will give you an opportunity also to submit a score prediction that is not in YouTube comments. So all of you are going to be included. Whoever gets it right or the closest to it will win a hat of their choice. I've got three different options. They are really cool. Four different options from College Corner. And you'll get to take your pick, and we'll start giving away some hats. Before we get into it, I want to tell you the podcast is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. Injuries, unfortunately, in life are unavoidable. In fact, a friend of mine, more importantly, a parent friend of my son's friend was in a car accident today. And, you know, luckily they were okay, but sometimes in life that does happen to you. If you've been personally injured, or you have a small business in which you need legal advice or a contract dispute, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. He's in Saltillo, but he can service you anywhere in Mississippi. He's got you for all of the legal advice you need or the help that you need for your personal injury or small business or contract disputes. Here's the number. Save it, because you may not need them today, but that day may come and you're not going to want to be searching for answers. You're going to want to find or already know the person that's going to best take care of you. And that's DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. The Gregory Law Firm, bringing you the Rebel Report live. Okay, I've got five things that I think we know about this team, and then a couple of things that we don't. Then we'll get to your comments and get you out of here. Number one, and I've already talked about this twice with you since the Middle Tennessee game ended, but it's attention to detail. It's preparation. And look, we heard a lot about it this offseason. We already know that during talking season, it's, you know, bigger, stronger, faster, you know, teams working hard and they're together and all that stuff, right? But we talked about it a lot, and Lane Kiffin talked about it a lot, that this the team and the way they prepared and the way they were together was different. And although, like I tell you guys, literally while I'm there, it's hard to take away anything from SEC Media Days. But you can learn things if you listen closely. And the thing that struck me the most about Jackson Dart and Trey Harris and Jared Ivey when they were there was the professionalism. And I'm not talking about how good they were with the media and stuff like that. I meant their mindset and their approach to everything. And that clearly is what this team is. I kept using the word professional there. And I didn't mean professional talkers. I meant they came off as professional athletes. I compared Jared Ivey to Cam Jordan of the Saints. It's what he sounded like. That's clearly the way that, at least through 2 weeks, they are preparing in how they have approached this season. And as we've talked about a lot, not everybody in college football can say the same. You've had really good teams in dogfights with bad teams, not Ole Miss. And I think that is noteworthy. It confirms the line of thinking that we had all offseason, that this team is built a little bit different. Their mentality, their approach is different. And through 2 weeks, that has been confirmed. So we know that the attention to detail is absolutely a part of what makes this team what it is right now. Number two, to me, the obvious is the defensive line. I know it's Furman and Middle Tennessee. I'm going to stop using qualifiers, I swear, because people are sick of hearing the qualifiers. I think you know that the defensive line is legitimate. The defensive line has high-end, like early to first-round caliber players on it, and the depth is real. And I know that because last year's defensive line was highly productive, despite it not looking good in Athens, for example. When you look at last year's Ole Miss defensive line, they were productive. Tackles for loss and sacks were there. They kept the two best players from last year's defensive line. At least I think they are. I know Cedric Johnson, but he made the Bengals, right? But still, I like Ivy and Pegues a ton. And getting to keep Stone and Harris and Jam Brown and those guys who already know kind of what their floor is. And it is abundantly clear that they have elevated their ceiling on the defensive line to what Lane Kiffin called elite before. I think you can comfortably know that Ole Miss's defensive line will be a strength on this team. They returned highly productive guys and added super high ceiling elite level guys. And that to me is abundantly clear through the first couple of games, regardless of competition level, because you've seen them do it at Ole Miss and you've seen these guys do it in the SEC and they are healthy and they are explosive. And the defensive line looks three deep and has elite level players on it at multiple spots. And that is not something you've really ever been able to say about Ole Miss defensive lines, with the rare exception throughout the history of the program. And I think that, you know, you could talk to people that have been around it a lot longer than me, and they would tell you that this group has the potential to be the best that they've ever had in school history. They've already shown that. And because you've seen them do it in Ole Miss uniforms, or you've seen them do it in the SEC, I think you can very comfortably say that that is something that you know. Another thing that we know about this Ole Miss team is Henry Parrish's RB1. And maybe the carry distribution changes some. I mean, there's been some talk about a possible kind of like a nagging injury with Ulysses Bentley, as we talked about back in the spring. Wasn't 100% then. But Henry Parrish right now is this team's lead running back. And what impressed me the most on Saturday was his willingness to be a pass blocker. We talked about that after the game. But he's getting the majority of the carries, and he is proving that he has earned them. And the proof is in the production, right? And I'm surprised that this is the case. I think we might see a little bit more of Amos moving forward some. He showed some nice things. I think once the schedule heats up, you're going to see less. You're going to see less of Matt Jones. But Henry Parrish right now is RB1. And I did not 3 weeks ago expect to be able to say that to you guys, even after the first couple of games. Number four, this is the obvious one. The weapons offensively, it's very similar to defense, right? Trey Harris has done it in an Ole Miss uniform. Jordan Watkins, finally back healthy, has done it in an Ole Miss uniform. You know exactly what they're capable of. Harris especially looks phenomenal. And then you add somebody like Juice Wells in the mix. And a healthy Juice Wells makes the trio plus Caden Lee, for example, who's had a nice start of the season, of wide receivers, exactly what we talked about they were. They have an elite wide receiver room at Ole Miss right now. And no, what they've done against Furman and Middle Tennessee hasn't, you know, told us that that is the case. We already expected that to be the case. And seeing Juice Wells healthy and physically able the way he is, paired with now having Watkins back healthy and Harris and Caden Lee and how they've produced, Ole Miss is elite at wide receiver. We expected them to be going in, but seeing this group together now, I think it's a no thing, not a think thing at this point. And number five, I think we know that they've done a good job at linebacker. There was a lot of talk during camp about Chris Paul Jr. and maybe not being the best practice player, and Lane Kiffin has kind of alluded to that a couple of times, but I really like what Ole Miss has at linebacker right now. Maybe there's still a little bit of concern about depth, but I like what they've got. I mean, they are fast, they are physical, and again, maybe it's not the deepest position group, but I do think you know right now that what they've got at linebacker, especially with Paul's experience at Arkansas, I think right now you've got a pretty solid to really good 1-2 punch there at linebacker. Couple of things that I'm still wanting to see or wanting to learn about. Offensive line, I think, is still an I don't know. If Jerquan Scott is back healthy this week, that'll be a really good thing for them, considering what you've heard about camp. But it's not fair to judge them one way or the other until even Kentucky comes to town. I know they got smoked by South Carolina, but there's pro potential on their defensive line for sure. Absolutely there is. And obviously with LSU and et cetera moving forward, we'll get a much better gauge of what they are on the offensive line. So that's still a question mark. They haven't done anything to make me think that they aren't going to be good or productive, but the opportunity hasn't presented itself for them to prove it just yet. And then number two is secondary. As we talked about a little bit on Sunday, Wake Forest is competent. Are they good? No, they're not particularly good. They kind of blew a game that they shouldn't have lost to Virginia. But Bachmeyer is a veteran quarterback. The scheme is that the slow mesh is good, although I think Ole Miss's defensive line with what Wake Forest presents on the offensive line might make doing the slow mesh pretty difficult. But Clawson's a good coach. Bachmeyer can sling it a little bit. They're competent. They're capable. They are definitely better than what Ole Miss has seen the first couple of weeks. I have a feeling that they're going to have Pete Golding and that defense's attention this week because they do put good things on film. Again, Bachmeier is capable. This is a power four team. Not one of the better ones, but it still is one. It's a step up in athleticism, and I think the scheme is good, and they're going to be well coached, and they've got a quarterback that can exploit a weakness if it is there. So we're going to find out, I think, even this weekend, if some of the lapses that we saw from the secondary against Middle Tennessee were just guys kind of losing focus in a sleepy game, which Kiffin alluded to that on Monday, or is that an issue? I think Wake Forest will be able to tell us, but right now it's still an incomplete as long as the offensive line, or as well as the offensive line. So we'll get to your comments, and then we'll get you out of here. After I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems, check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. We've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you want to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. All right. Let's see. Yeah, take two. I know. I'm just glad I pulled the plug when I did because that just would have been a disaster. So far, Ole Miss has 79 rushes and 76 passing yards in the first 2 weeks. Tell Brandon that. What we should know about Ole Miss so far is that they've done their job, and then some people mention the secondary, but I'm not taking much away from that either. You say they haven't gotten enough pass pressure with 3 or 4 man rush. So I'm going to push back a little bit on you there, David. I think that what Furman and Middle both did was get the ball out fast. I think that they really understand that they were mismatched, and they got the ball out very quickly. And as a result, it doesn't look like they're getting enough pressure. But when you're, literally 1 second from snap to ball out, I mean, unless the offensive line blows an assignment, just getting in the way at that point is enough to keep a defensive lineman off the quarterback. I think that they have shown that they are more than capable there. I mean, especially later in these games, they're not blitzing or stunting really at all. But I don't think that pass rush is something that you should be concerned about at all. Teams are going to try to guard against that by getting the ball out fast. I wouldn't be surprised if Wake Forest tried to get the ball out fast because I know the slow mesh is their thing, but trying to get your quarterback to sit in the pocket for long developing routes is going to lose against this Ole Miss team. Jackson Dart looks incredible. He does. Comfortable, confident, well-prepared. I mean, has he made a mistake throw yet? I know it's Furman and Middle, but still, has he thrown one ball where you thought, that wasn't a good idea? Just operating the offense, third-year quarterbacks are just so rare, and they're either a third year because they're not good enough to move on, like the gentleman over at Oklahoma State who's been in college forever, or like in Jackson's case, he was very young when he started college, very young. I mean, what is he, only 21 right now as a fourth year starting quarterback in the Power Four and a third year at his current school? You can see that experience. Looks like Freeze has not changed a bit, judging by his press conference. Hadn't changed a bit. He is just the exact same. The Wake game will be a nice change of pace for this team. The energy has been great, but it definitely started to get boring in the second half of Middle Tennessee. Yeah, it did. It did. Careful, though. I promise we're not going to talk about fans leaving early tonight. Offense looks unstoppable, like 2019 LSU good. Would like to see Parrish be effective, not 12 yards a carry, because he won't do that again. But I would like to see them, continue to run the football with intent against the better teams they play. And it's Lane Kiffin. Of course, they're going to. by the way, the fans have done their part. 60K for Furman in Middle Tennessee is nothing to scoff at. Absolutely not. It's absolutely not anything to turn your nose up at. You get to watch from the jump. Glad you're here, man. It's all my fault, but glad you're here. Do we honestly think that Wake, Georgia Southern, Kentucky, or South Carolina could punch this team in the mouth like we've mentioned before? No. The only way they can do that is if Ole Miss allows them to. If Ole Miss starts these next four games the way that they are capable of, if they don't shoot themselves in the foot in these games, I don't think these teams are capable of doing such a thing. The only thing that's going to keep Kentucky or South Carolina or Wake Forest or Georgia Southern in the game against Ole Miss is if Ole Miss does things to themselves to keep them in the game. I've watched Kentucky and South Carolina. It's that they should not be capable of that. You have a suspicion the slow mesh concept at Wake is a terrible matchup for Ole Miss. Or not for Ole Miss, but facing Ole Miss's front. Yeah, you're exactly right. It works. It's really interesting, and it's fun to watch, and Clawson's good, but this might not be the week for that. Jackson Dart is definitely not an all-SEC quarterback, right? Oh, yeah, definitely not. Not even third team. More questions should be asked about... I was being sarcastic, by the way. More questions should be asked of the teams Ole Miss is playing. Kentucky looked awful. South Carolina's average at best. I think they're below average, even after what they did to Kentucky. And LSU is currently in a little bit of a mess. Oklahoma is offensively inept. Oklahoma is more than inept. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not going to pick them to lose this game. I would just avoid it completely. But I wouldn't be surprised if Oklahoma lost to Tulane. Would you? Would you be surprised if Oklahoma lost to Tulane? I wouldn't. They can't score on anybody. LSU's defense is still a bit of a mess, and they lost an interior defensive lineman that they were already kind of bad and thin there anyway. LSU has lost one of their running backs and top D-line for the season. Yep, absolutely. You think Ole Miss is going to beat Wake by four touchdowns? I do too. I think that spread feels a little low. Have I changed my 10-2 prediction? Not yet. Not yet. I'm going to be stubborn about it. Not quite yet. I would like to see the offensive line look dominant before I think, and I know what LSU is. Look, I think that Ole Miss is going to go down to Baton Rouge and win. I think that they're going to win 11 games. I'm just not going to move off of it just yet. Heard Chris Jones was a fan of Ole Miss. Yeah, I saw that on the Manning cast last night. I saw that. Is the Wake Forest game sold out? It is. It is. A very small stadium, less than half the size of Vaught Hemingway. And also, I think there's going to be a lot of you guys there. A lot of you guys there. Chris Jones was 15K from going to Ole Miss. I'll take your word for it. I don't think he was ever going to Ole Miss. That was one of those weird old school recruiting situations where he was hidden. I mean, completely hidden. And yeah, I don't think that there was ever a chance, ever a real chance. I think they were going to force that regardless. It's a pivotal week for Brian Kelly, maybe the biggest of his time at LSU. Ain't no doubt. Absolutely. Tennessee's going to dog walk Oklahoma and then some. Tennessee's really good. I think the SEC might get five playoff teams. I really do. Because, you know, the Big 12 is going to eat itself, and they're not in the same way that the SEC does. There's a real chance that the ACC is a one-bid league, and there's a real chance that the Big 10 is a one- or two-bid league. Do you think Michigan's running the table? No, probably not. I mean, you're down to Penn State and Ohio State at this point. That South Carolina defensive lineman's going to get paid this offseason. Yeah, he's a seven-figure-a-year player. He's a seven-figure-a-year player, for sure. If LSU loses to South Carolina, what should we expect in Baton Rouge? If LSU loses to South Carolina, because they would at that point essentially be eliminated from playoff contention, If LSU loses to South Carolina, I will change my win-loss prediction for Ole Miss, for sure. Does Wake Forest typically sell out? I don't believe so. I think this is kind of unique to them, and I do think it's being heavily aided by Ole Miss. Of course, the only game you have to watch on TV for Ole Miss is on the CW. Yeah, you know, I think you guys are going to be impressed, though, by the broadcast quality. I checked it out just to see, and it looks fine. I mean, you will absolutely watch worse broadcasts this year than the one that the CW is going to put on. You absolutely will watch worse, I promise. Key Lawrence is playing his first game with Ole Miss this weekend, hoping he is as advertised. Secondary looked meh against Middle Tennessee. I'm excited to see him play. I am. Could the SEC get 6 playoff teams? A lot of those top teams don't play each other or only just one other. Yeah, I mean, they could. I think I'm going to stick with 5, but absolutely it could. But what they would need is help. Like, you can't have the Big 12 be a 3-bid league like somebody at CBS said that they were going to be. I don't buy that, but you can't have that happen. Notre Dame's basically out. They're not running the table. Their second loss, they're done, with Northern Illinois being one of them. Again, so if the ACC's a 1-bid league, if the Big 12, we'll call it a 2-bid league. Why not? So there's 3. The Big 10 gets 2, so that's 5. The group of 5 gets 1. That's 6. The other 6 could be SEC teams. Absolutely. Like you can easily walk yourself into that, or talk yourself into that, I should say. Big 10 can only get 2. I would bet on 2 right now. If you set the over-under at 2.5, I would take the under. Also incredibly interested in Arkansas and Auburn. The next few weeks, Auburn is awful, and you hope it spirals. Yeah, they looked bad. And I don't think just a quarterback change is going to fix anything there either. Arkansas is interesting to me because they clearly have improved. Right? Like, there's no doubt about that. I watched the entire Oklahoma State game. They're an improved football team. They are better than they were a year ago. I still think Green is going to turn the football over a ton. He had a lot of turnover-worthy plays that were not turnovers in that game. But he's really athletic, and Petrino was able to get him out of the pocket on the run. Easy, like, one-read passes. But I think that they're limited on the line of scrimmage. I think that their ceiling is quite low, but they are not a pushover. But here's my question. Is they already know their coach is on the hot seat. They've already blown a game that they should not have lost. And then they still have Auburn and Jordan-Hare, Texas A&M in the neutral site, Tennessee, LSU, and at Mississippi State before they play Ole Miss. By the time Ole Miss gets to Fayetteville, they could have 2, 3, 4, 5, 5 or 6 losses. Are you getting them to give a damn when that is the case? I don't know. I don't think so. So, anyway. Yeah, Florida and Mississippi State will be a putrid game next week. I tend to agree. How fascinating is this Florida game, though, this weekend? And we'll talk more about it on Thursday, I'm sure. But Florida A&M with Lagway possibly being available? You think it's already over, but if Billy loses, it's over? Absolutely it is. And by the way, I know you guys know this already. I know you guys know how I feel about this person and the way he goes about his business. But I had some friends send a Instagram post to me of like some Florida fan account quoting Paul Feinbaum about what Feinbaum says about Lane Kiffin in Florida. There is nobody that I would trust less on what Lane Kiffin is going to do than Paul Feinbaum. There's nobody that I trust less. Maybe he does leave for Florida. Maybe he does when that opportunity presents itself. What Paul Feinbaum thinks is going to happen is the last opinion that I would consider on the matter. And especially after he chose SEC Media Days, where he was standing, where Lane Kiffin stood on the stage and eulogized his very recently passed father. And Feinbaum chose that venue to troll him about his biggest career failure. It went to me from this guy's kind of a cartoon character to this guy's an ass. And I could use more colorful language than that. And so there's very clearly there's more to it than just being that the personality. What I can't figure out still is why the SEC allows him to be their most forward-facing voice because of how he goes about it. What I thought happened at Media Days was disgusting. And so on top of that, he's clearly demonstrated that he is very unaware. Go look at his comments about the Auburn deal if you really want to just know how little into account you should take his opinion about Florida. There you go. There's your second PSA of the day. I got to run, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back on Thursday if my power is on. Be safe with that hurricane coming through. I appreciate you. I love you. And we will hopefully we'll be talking on Thursday. See you then, hopefully.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.